where we explore sexuality, spirituality, and everything in between to give you simple, practical tools to create the juicy, joyful life you truly want. I'm your host and fellow explorer, Rachel Sizemore. Well, hey there. Welcome back to the show. I am so excited to bring you today's guest, Amanda Testa. Amanda is the creator of Find Your Feminine Fire, which is all about helping women find their powerful feminine essence again. And that is something we dive into really deeply on the show today. Amanda and I jam on how to get started reconnecting to yourself and to your desires, even if you're feeling exhausted, stressed out, numbed out, overwhelmed. We talk about this paradigm shift from where many of us are at, feeling like there's something wrong with us or we're broken if we have low sexual desire, to shifting to recognize that that's just a part of ourselves that we're not feeding, and what we can do about it. We talk about why it's worth it to bother reconnecting to your body and to your sexual self, what the benefits are. And we talk about how to communicate with your partner as you're discovering things about yourself, and to do this communication in an open, loving, and effective way. And we wrap up with some helpful tips for how you can transition from super busy lady or mommy mode to being open and even excited for intimacy. There is so much juicy goodness packed in this episode. I know it's going to be really impactful for you. I am so excited. I hope you enjoy. Well, Miss Amanda, welcome, welcome. I'm so happy to have you on the show today. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. Just to kick us off, I'd love if you just do a little brief intro on yourself and a little bit about you and how you started doing your work and what it is that you do.
Thank you so much, Rachel, for having me. I am Amanda Testa, and I am the creator of Find Your Feminine Fire, which is a group coaching program to really help women tap into that inner radiance, that inner vibrancy that we all have that sometimes gets buried underneath the realities of life, the busyness of life, especially as a mom. And that is the reason I actually created this, is after my daughter was born, I totally revamped my life and everything revolved around her, my family. I left my career and stayed home with her, which was a wonderful thing, and I'm very grateful for that opportunity. However, I ended up putting myself at the very bottom of the list. And after a couple of years of that, I hit the bottom. And I would wake up resentful and miserable and just was extremely unhappy on the inside. I know on the outside it probably didn't appear that way because I am from the South, and us Southern belles, we tend to just slap on the lipstick and just go about our day. And, oh, everything's fine, even when it's not. So that to me had to stop. And so I decided at that moment I was going to do something about it. And I really made a conscious commitment to take responsibility for figuring out what I needed and how to get it. So, and through that process, what I did is what I am helping to teach other women to do.
Yeah. And the world needs you. Yes. And this is very exciting because it's exactly what I wanted to chat with you on the show today about, is figuring out what you need and how to get it. So maybe you could share a little bit more about your personal experience and just kind of walking us through, how do we start to figure out what we need and what we want?
That is a great question, because I think that is the hardest thing for most women. What do I want? What do I desire? We don't know that. We don't take the time to think about that. We're so busy trying to take care of everyone else or, you know, excel at our careers, whatever it may be. So for me, what it took was to really make the commitment, okay, whatever it takes, I'm going to figure this out and take responsibility for it myself. Because, you know, I think it's easy for us to say, oh, well, my husband needs to fix this problem for me, or, oh, I'm going to find, you know, someone to fix it for me. You can find a guy to help you, which is one of the things I did. But realizing at the end of the day, I was the one that had to do the work. So I hired a coach who was a beautiful feminine woman, and I wanted more of that. I saw her in a room and I was like, I want what she's having, and made it a point to work with her. And she really helped me to take the time, create the space to uncover what my desires were by, you know, spending time writing that down, you know, set a timer for 10 minutes. What do you desire? And really not letting yourself quit till the timer's up, because it takes about 8 or 9 minutes to really get to the root of what it is you might want. I started surrounding myself with women who were positive and uplifting. And I just put myself out in my community, joined groups, and found some amazing women. Because I find not only do you need to do the work yourself, but you need to surround yourself with people who are supporting you in this. Because you will have the friends or the people in your life who, they love you, but they might not understand what you're doing. And they will maybe are also of the right thing to do to be a martyr for your family. That's how you do it. That's what you're supposed to do. And realizing that to be the best mother, to be the best wife, that comes from being happy on the inside and putting yourself first. Because if you have nothing left, you have nothing to give, as we all know.
Yeah, that's so true, Amanda. If you have nothing left, you have nothing to give. And I thought you had amazing good suggestions or process there, but I love that you took the time to say that first one, which is, it begins with a commitment to yourself and taking responsibility for it. I am going to do something to change this. Really committing to that and owning how really any change that we want to make, though we may have learned in our culture to blame and put the, you know, point the finger outwards, like we can't create change in someone else. We have to do it in ourselves first.
Yes.
There's a lot of power in that. So, okay, making that commitment, getting some help, surrounding yourself with people who are supportive. These are all amazing suggestions. And can you give us some examples of what maybe you found when you started to explore? Like, what are some of the things that you wanted that you started to bring into your life that made a difference for you?
For me, I think it was just a little bit, one of the big things was just a little bit of space to just be and not have to do anything, because that to me was a big missing piece. And you may say, oh, I'm way too busy. There's no way I can do that. But we all take a shower. We all go to the bathroom. At the very least, those are moments you can reclaim as your own, right? But in addition to that was committing to getting more childcare so I could have time to do some of these things that I wanted to do. Whether you're working or not, I think a lot of stay-at-home moms, at least in my experience from my own personal journey, is that you feel like if you are not with your kid, you need to be doing something productive. And if you have a business, that means working on your business. If you're just staying home, then there's always stuff to be done. So realizing that, you know what, it's okay to spend money on a babysitter and do something for yourself. Like, that to me felt like a sacrilege or something, you know? That's okay. And I would do more of that. And maybe I would take a walk. And I'm telling you, when I first started this, the advice I was given, just take a walk and let your body go where it wants to go. I'm like, well, should I put like a timer on for 10 minutes so I know how far I've gone? Literally, like, that's how regimented I was. So I'll put in a timer for 10 minutes and just like wander and then come back. No, it's like, just let yourself wander. That was such a foreign concept to me, but it was so beneficial. And then you have some time. You're like, okay, the more I do things like that, the more you are connecting with your intuition and what you need for yourself.
Yeah. And I love how it's so clear that it's not something we can just discover, like, okay, it's this thing. And then, you know, it's not like, okay, great, I'm just going to buy flowers every day. And then you buy flowers and all of a sudden everything's different. Like, there's a, not that buying flowers can't be wonderful, but it's creating some space to A, explore and get curious, and B, also just take the pressure off for a little while.
Yes, that's huge. Take the pressure off for a little while. I love that.
Just like breathe. Because I think that's part of, like, yes, we need to do things to feel joyful and pleasure. But also, I think we forget how much potential joy and pleasure there is in doing less, nothing, having some space for ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah, because most women not experiencing that in their daily lives.
Yeah.
As part of this, when we get in this state of doing everything for everyone and putting ourselves bottom on the list, I think a common side effect, if you will, of that state is not feeling energized, not feeling, and not feeling attractive, not feeling sexy. And even further, like not having sexual desire in addition to desires for other things. Could you share a little bit with us about your thoughts on that and maybe some of what we could do to start opening up that book in a way that feels gentle and approachable?
Totally. Because that is so true. Again, when you have nothing to give, the last thing you want to do at the end of a busy day is to be touched or be intimate. So in starting to rediscover what you want, what you desire, what feels good to you, I think is taking time to realize at the core of it, it's really loving yourself. And when you're in that funk, at least for me, I wasn't taking care of myself. I wasn't exercising. I put on some extra weight, all those things that make you feel frumpy and dumpy and not want to be touched. And I think by just gently letting myself be okay with where I was, which just was, you know, that acceptance. All right, here's where you are. Let's do something to change it. And making these steps and realizing, you know what? Okay, for me, I was going to find some new way to move my body that felt good. So I found a workout that I love, the Fierce 45, and that I committed to going 2-3 times a week. And it, those kind of little steps. So you start feeling better. You start having more energy. I started doing some other things, you know, to try to increase my sexual desire. And originally, when I first started doing research on this, you know, I saw some books that really helped me. One was The Woman's Anatomy of Arousal by Sherry Winston, which was a hugely beneficial book for me because as much as I knew my own body, wow, I had so many eye-opening discoveries in that book. So I highly recommend it to read if you are wanting to understand that because, again, understanding your own body is the key. You have to be able to do that and understand what you enjoy and what feels good to you before you can tell your partner. And I also found a wonderful teacher, Layla Martin, and I took a few of her courses that really helped to, in the big picture, I was like, oh, I want to feel more sexy. And I didn't realize that the bottom of it all really was all about me loving myself. You know, I was like, oh, I'm going to get a tip on how to be a better lover, this, that, and the other. Well, that comes from doing the work on yourself first. So that was eye-opening to me.
Can you just share a little bit more with us about that? Because I think for sure when I first started thinking about loving myself, I was like, you know, this is A, intimidating, B, hard, C, I don't understand why it matters. So, yeah, could you just share a little bit more about how you connect loving yourself with increasing your desire?
Yes. And I will say one of the tips I learned, and this was just a really simple thing, but I started with this, and it was a very simple 2-minute meditation where one hand on your heart, one hand on your lower belly, and just breathe into your heart for 2 minutes. Because by doing that, you're connecting to your heart, which beats for you, takes care of you, keeps you alive. That in itself is a gift. That's something very simple that you can focus on and connect with. And actually, after 2 minutes of doing this, your heart waves and your brain waves will synchronize, which is amazing, right? So when you just can appreciate, and it's maybe even not loving yourself at first, but it's appreciating what your body does for you. Like, wow, thanks, heart. Thank you for keeping me alive. Thank you for beating. You know, and the same with your breath. This is your lifelong friend. It's been with you since your first moment of life, and it will be with you to your last moment of life. These simple things like appreciating. So if you can't love, at first you can just appreciate. And then that, those slow steps over time, you can kind of build up to that. So then when you're in the shower, this may totally sound wacko, right? It's hard to do at first. But like really love every part of your body as you bathe it. Like bathe it in love. You know, slowly over time, the more you do this, you do start connecting to it and really appreciating it more and really loving it.
And then when we, I could see this, like when we start turning tenderness to ourselves, we then open ourselves to receiving tenderness. And yes. So it's like, yeah, so it's like now we're back in our bodies. And it's like, how are we going to have a sex desire if we're not in our bodies?
Yes.
It's not there. You can't. It's like you're not in your body and you can't, you know, you're ignoring hunger because you're trying to push through and get things done. You're ignoring exhaustion. You're ignoring feeling sedentary and how that doesn't feel good. It's like if we're not in communication with our bodies, we're not going to feel desire either.
Yeah, that's so true.
It's so true. And so it's like slowing down to start appreciating your body puts you in this state of mind of being in that, being in your body, being in communication with it, and yeah, opening to that tenderness.
I think from that does stem the more you want to connect with others. When you have that love inside of you, you want to share it. So you are going to be more loving and kind to your children when they're making you crazy. You'll have that extra little bit of patience. And with your partner, you're going to want to share with them.
Creating that ripple effect.
Yeah.
Getting back in touch with our bodies, starting to appreciate and bring more love to our bodies. Awesome place to start. I love that. Anything on getting, do you have anything on getting in touch with what we want sexually, like what we want in just terms of what would turn us on.
Right. And I think that's something too, that you explore with yourself, because again, a lot of times we shut all that down. And part of it is the way our culture conditions us over years, you know, and then part of it is just maybe, again, you're buried under all your life stresses and duties and you don't take the time to really discover what makes you feel good. Maybe when you're intimate, you're just kind of laying there and counting down the minutes till you can finish the laundry and do your emails that you have to return and blah, 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 when it doesn't have to be that way. So by taking this time that you are going to be doing now to really tune in more to your body and touching your body with love everywhere, and even, you know, discovering what feels good with regards to self-pleasure and where, how you like to be touched and where on your body feels good to be touched. I mean, you have to discover that for yourself and give you some space to do it, you know? Maybe it's when you're in the shower. Maybe it's when you're taking a bath. Maybe you go to bed a little bit earlier so you can spend some time. Maybe it's when you first wake up in the morning before you get out of bed, you know, but you have to figure out for yourself what feels good and what turns you on. And once you learn that, then you're better able to share it with your partner, because I know that's a scary discussion to have, but it's a very important one.
Yeah. And I definitely, that is where we're going next. I just want to tease out what you were saying right there, because it's like, I think when I first started exploring this for myself, and I don't know if you had this experience, Amanda, I felt like my low desire was something that was wrong with me, right? Like I started to, it was just, it wasn't even a started. It just was in my head, like, I don't have this. I'm broken, or something's wrong with me, or maybe I'm just like not that sexual of a woman. Which is kind of painful, not a good feeling. I don't know if you experienced that at all or if you've seen that with your clients, but.
Totally. That is such a common thing. And so many women are like, well, I don't even feel anything. That does nothing for me. I am so numb. And that is a huge common complaint and a, you know, feeling that you're broken or something's wrong with you. When in actuality, it's just that you have to kind of rewire your brain and your body to feel.
Say that again.
You just have to rewire your brain and your body to heal.
Yeah, and to feel, right?
And to feel, yeah. To feel, sorry, yes.
Yeah.
To heal and to feel.
Because we're disconnected, we're shut down, we're numbed out. And I think I have a suspicion that the story that we're broken is not helping.
No.
The situation.
And sadly, so many women are just fine with it, right? They're like, everything else in my life's pretty good. If the sex isn't great, whatever, no big deal. Or I could care less. Like, that's the last thing I want to think about. I'll do it once a week, make my husband happy, which really, no one's happy then, right? If you're not happy, deep down, he's probably not happy. If you're not enjoying it, he's probably not enjoying it, because men's number one desire is really to please you. They want to please you. You know, doing the bare minimum to keep your marriage afloat, that's kind of sad for everyone, in my opinion. But I get it because I know I've been there, you know? It's not easy, but it can be done. And there's phases, right? You're going to go through phases. You might have another spell where you are numb again, and then where you're super, you know, everything feels amazing. But that's just life, and we do have these phases. And just understanding that that can happen and being gentle on yourself when it does. But there are practices that you can do, you know, to help rewire your brain to feel. And the nice thing about our brains is we have neuroplasticity. What that means is your brain is able to make changes. You can create new pathways, and that's a beautiful thing because that gives you hope.
And I think it's so important. It's like recognizing, I think, A, that first shift that we were just talking about, which is like we go from I'm broken, this just isn't a part of my life, this isn't something that I have, to like, okay, well, maybe I'm just numb. And that was kind of a realization for me, like, okay, maybe I'm just experiencing numbness, and that's part of it. And then saying, it's like, the question I want to ask is for the woman who's like, what's the point? I'm fine, my life is good enough, like, I just fulfill, you know, my duty. Like, why should they change?
You know, that's a great question, because the truth is they have to want to. And what would make them want to? For me, it's just knowing that I can have so much more amazing energy that I could channel into creative endeavors in my life. I can have more energy. I can get more done because I am not exhausted in the morning when I wake up, and I don't need 5 cups of coffee just to get me through a day, and then 2 glasses of wine at night so I can fall asleep, and then have a shitty night of sleep and wake up and, you know, do that cycle again and again. You just teach your body to channel this energy. And by doing that, you know, you wake up and you feel pretty good. I've actually been amazed, right? And that energy, I'm just so much more patient with my daughter, for example. And at the end of the day, I'm kind of excited to go and connect with my husband because I know that there's some good feelings that are going to come to me in a little bit. And that connection with my husband and how that feels so good and how that helps him because he's feeling better. And then he's more productive and more successful in his life too. And then our daughter sees us and that, you know, she feeds off that energy too versus how it was where we were at each other. We were arguing all the time. We weren't connecting. Our daughter was stressed by it. You know, everyone's affected.
Sexual energy as life energy. This is a new idea. I mean, it makes great sense when you start to think about it and when you start to experience it, which if you're like, what are these ladies talking about? This doesn't make sense. Like, just play around with it. But it's like the numbness we're feeling in our body is, it's right along with the symptoms of just ignoring ourselves, putting ourselves last, feeling disconnected. And getting back into our body and then getting back into our sexual bodies is like a fuel. And you're saying it's a fuel that's actually serving your whole family.
Totally.
It's awesome.
I believe that.
Yeah. Like a woman in her pleasure is powerful and so fueled. Powerful. Yeah. And it's like, if this feels so far away for you, it's like, it doesn't have to be overnight. It's not overnight.
No, it's not overnight. It takes time. And you have to be gentle with yourself in the process, but knowing that each day you're getting closer to where you want to be, to feeling what you want to feel, and just being gentle on yourself throughout the process is the main key. Because in this culture, we put so much priority on goals and getting there. And just realizing, even taking the time to just love yourself, so you're doing these practices over time, you're going to just being gentle on yourself and giving yourself kudos for even doing the work in the first place. It's not easy to squeeze it in, but it's vital to squeeze it in.
And the nice thing is it starts to show its benefits right away. You know, like with some of the things we do, you're like, I'm eating healthy, but I can't even tell. I don't know. I think eating healthy, you do feel good pretty much right away. But anyway, it's one of those things that like even just 3 minutes for yourself, you're going to feel better.
Yes.
So as long as you can give yourself that grace of non-judgment and the time.
Yeah.
Oh, so good and so important. This episode of Ripen is brought to you by the Sexy in Your Own Skin one-on-one intensive coaching experience. if you are feeling possibly far behind, if you're feeling numb, shut down, disconnected from your body, like you're trying to get things moving with your goals and you just can't, like sexual desire feels a million miles away, I am here for you. I work with clients one-on-one to shed the shoulds, get rid of the old BS, connect your body, and start creating the juicy, joyful life that you want. It is truly possible, and I would love to support you. Head on over to rachelsizemore.com/workwithme to learn more and schedule a free discovery call so we can discover if you're a good fit for the Sexy in Your Own Skin Intensive. Now back to the show. Just to circle back to what you had mentioned before, because I think this part of the conversation is really important. As women, we're starting to like sneak in some slowing down, like getting, you know, maybe, I think for me, I read at your suggestion, read Women's Anatomy of Arousal when I was doing your program, Amanda, and like blew my mind as well. Because you're just like, what? How did I not know how my vulva and vagina worked? I am in my 30s. Oh my God. Yeah, it's intense. Go read it. But so through reading that book, started to kind of think about arousal as just something that was sort of erased from my sexuality. Like I just didn't. Well, one, do you know what is the statistic about women and how much longer it takes us to get aroused? I don't. It's like.
It's about 15 minutes on average for to get turned on.
15 minutes on average for a woman to get turned on. You're like, most sexual encounters in our country, I guess, are less than 15 minutes from start to finish.
Yeah. And especially when you have a full day and it's 10:30 and you want to go to bed and your husband's like, hee-hee-hee. You're like, all right, let's get this done. You know, so that's the thing. You do have to realize it takes time for your body to get there, because for most men, they're just like, they can easily get aroused. But women, we have so many different things going on in our brain. Like we got to make sure that we're in a relaxed state, that we are feeling loved. You know, those kind of things help to increase your turn on. And, you know, having a context that makes you feel turned on helps a woman a ton. So that's the difference. You know, we take time, and being okay with yourself and knowing that's normal. Like it can be up to 45 minutes for some women, and that is totally normal too.
Yeah, that just blew my mind, because you're like, again, you've lived in your body your whole life, but to just be like, and as soon as I learned that, I was like, oh yeah, that is true. Huh. You know, like it's this shift of like, instead of waiting till you're midway through the sexual act to feel really aroused, to say, oh, well, I could just sometimes at least prioritize my arousal and give myself the space to let it take longer. But what that brings up is, how do you communicate that with your partner? You know, because a lot of us haven't sex with your partner a long time. And so it's like, hey, I read this book and.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, it's true. It's a hard conversation to have, especially if you've been in a long-term relationship and you've been doing it the same way, or, you know, it might come as a shock to bring this up with your partner. But at the same time, I think communication is the key. And if you approach it from a place of love and really wanting to enhance your relationship, to take it to the next level, you can communicate it in that way. So, you know, maybe approaching it that way, when you talk to your husband, create a container that's safe. So in other words, don't do it when you're like out to dinner and there's a million people around. But do it in a time where you're both in, you know, feeling good. You know, not when he's like, got to leave the door, out of the door to work in 5 minutes. But like when you have time to sit and actually listen to each other. And, you know, kind of frame the conversation that way. It's like, I got something really exciting I want to talk to you about. But I want to make sure we have at least, you know, 30 minutes, an hour to talk about this. And really, I'm sure you guys have all heard of the positive sandwich. But for men, this really works well, because they can easily take this as a hit to their ego if you don't approach it in the right way. You can't be like, oh, by the way you've been doing this for the past 10 years sucks. And that's going to immediately set down the conversation.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to go over very well.
Yeah, go well.
For the record, don't try this way first. Don't do that.
Yeah. But even, you know, I want to take our sex to the next level. And then you can really point out the way you do XYZ is amazing. And the way you do XYZ, I love this. And I'm excited to explore how it can be even better. And maybe you could say, you know, I want to try XYZ, or I would love it if you would try XYZ. So maybe he doesn't feel like stressed or pressured to come up with something. And did, like you said about the book, it's not necessarily a bad idea, because sometimes if you get the book and you're reading it, your husband is going to be like, what's that about? Right? So it is a way to start the conversation. And the nice thing about it is there's a nice little section at the back with some tips for your man. And I can guarantee he probably will peek in there. And if not, you could say, hey, I've been reading this book. I think there's some cool stuff in this. Would you be open to looking at it with me? So, you know, and just have kind of like a calm curiosity about it. And realizing that at the end of the day, you have to be responsible for your own pleasure. Like, you know, by communicating this to your partner, it's a start. But don't feel like it's going to change overnight. And B, give your partner space to absorb this, you know, because it might come as quite a shock. And honestly, it probably will. But knowing that if you state what you really desire, and most men's desire, or, you know, your partner, man or woman, they want to please each other, right? You want to please your partner. So I think most of the time, you know, if you phrase it in a way that's positive, and then kind of talk about what you want to explore, and then finish off with another positive, you know, I'm really excited. I think what we have is amazing, and our sex life is great, and I'm excited to take it even deeper.
Yeah, creating that positive frame.
Yeah.
I also love what you said about give him examples of things to try.
Yeah.
You know, something maybe you've discovered, or it's like taking the pressure off of him to like invent it all, at least at first.
Yeah.
I think this is an interesting thing here too. Like remembering that he wants to please you. I feel like there can be some stickiness there, because I think there can be a lot of self-consciousness on both sides.
Totally.
And so like that self-consciousness can sometimes read as disinterest, or...
I think it's true. We always think that we're the ones that we have the self-image issues, or, you know, and every man is like raring to go at the drop of a hat. That's not always true either, because they as well have issues that they're working through. And maybe they are, you know, didn't have any kind of exposure to certain things growing up. You know, we don't come with a manual of, oh, here's how you do this, that, and the other. Like, you have to learn over time. And our culture doesn't prioritize sex education. We don't learn. We learn the basics, but at least in my day, we didn't learn anything about prioritizing pleasure. It was all about, oh, don't have sex, you don't want to get pregnant. You know, it was all negative, negative, negative. And for most men, I think they have similar kind of experiences. A lot of porn and things like that to kind of shape what you are supposed to have. So you're really all learning, you know, it's all learning. And some people, you're all at different stages of that. But I think, like you said, is you want to make sure that you approach this with your partner in a way that's very loving and not criticizing, because they could, you know, think, well, that's why giving the ideas of examples of things you might want to try is a good way to do it. Because then they can be like, oh, I'm open to that, or not. But at least you can kind of open that dialogue. Here's some things that look interesting. Would you be interested in trying XYZ? And then you can kind of decide, yeah, that one, yes, that one, no way, that one, yes, you know, and kind of work through. And then it can be kind of a fun game, something to look forward to.
Yeah, trying to frame it in such a way as, this is fun, because it's supposed to be fun. Yeah.
It is fun. And, but you're like, you know, and too, and if you're one of those relationships where it has been a long time since you've been connecting, and, you know, maybe you're in a sexless marriage, or you're just in a long-term relationship where you haven't had that connection, you can slowly build up to it. But even having these conversations and just talking about your desires is a good way to get that connection and that intimacy building again. And maybe it is that you don't immediately get into intimacy or to physical touch or anything, but just like talking to each other and really reopening that dialogue of what you want and how you want your sexual relationship to be, it creates that pathway that it's possible.
And it's just like we get back into communication with our bodies and start to build desire there. It's like getting back into communication with our partners. Same, like it builds that connection. Yeah. So even though it's uncomfortable sometimes, you just gotta...
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable.
Tiptoe in.
But it's so worth it on the other side. And know that it might be a rocky road to get there, but that's how growth is, right? You can't just go from A to B. There's twists and turns and detours and ups and downs, but you can get there. possible.
Yay. So there's having the initial conversation of like, okay, here I'm gonna I'm reading this book or I want to talk a little bit about sex. Is there anything else that could kind of help us along in this process with communicating with our partners?
There's a great thing you can do after intimacy, and sometimes this may feel weird at first, but really kind of discussing your experience together and, you know, talking about, okay, what felt really good for you? And, or you're just kind of recapping your experience, so to speak. At the end, you talk about what worked, and then you can at least start feeling more comfortable expressing that with each other. And you have the direct experience to refer, you know, you're right there referring to it.
Yeah, so like taking some time after an intimate time to actually talk about it.
Yeah.
I feel like this would be a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. And it's, and that's why at first you want to just really talk about the positive. Again, you know, so after sex, you talk about what was great for you. And then maybe if there was something that wasn't really great, maybe now's not the time to talk about it, but at least you can know, note to yourself, like, okay, that was not so great. Let's not mention that at all. You know, or then when you're in a safer time, you can like say, okay, here's one thing that maybe I don't always love when you do this. So, but maybe not right after sex to like really kill the ego, but in another time, I think afterwards, for at least for me in my experience, I think it's best to just focus on what was really good. But I don't know if you have an experience that you can share about that.
Well, I definitely think there's an opportunity in that moment to be like, if there was something that you liked that was maybe there was just a little, you can be like, when you did this, that was awesome. We could do a lot more of that.
Yeah.
And even though it's uncomfortable to say and maybe uncomfortable to hear, I think you're right that men really do want to know. It's like exactly like you were saying. We weren't taught. There's no manual. There's just a lot of pressure on both of us, men and women, to be awesome at sex. And it's like we're just supposed to magically know.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
Yeah, no, that doesn't work. And I think that, like, yeah, we can read these books and that's all really good and helpful, but also just like being in communication. I love that you're bringing this and sharing this with us because it's like, yes, it is so important.
Right. Because I mean, I think that's the real way you can grow is first of all, you have to have the wisdom and then you have to have the direct experience to back that up. So you can learn these things, but you have to try them. And I think that's how you can grow. You know, with your relationship. So you're learning these new things you want to try. You try them, you recap about your experience, and then you can know what works moving forward. And you have a much easier context of like, okay, these things are great. And then your partner can know these things are great. So you guys can just expand on that.
Yeah, and then you start to have some new go-tos that are a little more vetted than just the old ways. Oh, it's so powerful. It's so powerful. And two, it's this like, it's women taking responsibility, like you were saying, you know, right, to play a more active role in creating this in your life.
Right. Can I share one more little tip?
Please.
That it kind of helps, I think, to prepare, like you just said, we have to take an active role in preparing. And I think for, I mean, obviously you can't schedule in every encounter. You want there to be spontaneity sometimes. But if you know you're going to be getting intimate or you want to, I always recommend trying to set up like a kind of a transition ritual, so to speak, before. So this is a way you can kind of take responsibility a little bit and get your mind in that calm state and get your body in a little bit more of a relaxed state. So whatever that is, maybe it's going into your room and making it like if there's clutter or stuff, throwing it in the closet or under the bed so that there's a nice space, like creating a space that feels good. Something just simple like that, or lighting a candle. Or maybe putting on some music that puts you in the mood and just dancing for a minute or two. Just something to change your brain from that stressed out busy day state or putting the kids to bed or whatever. Just dealing with a tantrum to, all right, let's go, because that's not how the brain works. So if you give yourself that little time to transition and you do it on a regular basis, then your body's going to start being conditioned. Ooh, the bed's clean. It's this type of music. And you're going to start to feel turned on just by that, like the Pavlov's dog thing, right? So that is a super fun, easy tip that you can implement like starting now. Take a couple minutes, go into the bedroom, set it up, do something to make yourself feel beautiful, whatever it is. Maybe it's just washing your face before you go to bed, right? just whatever it is, little things, but giving yourself that ritual to transition.
I love that because it's almost like taking on some of our 15 minutes of arousal, you know, and yes. saying like, I'm going to start this. Yeah. And create the transition ritual. I love that so much, Amanda. So powerful. And it's just, again, flipping it on its head. Instead of there's something wrong with me, I'm broken, I don't have this. It's just recognizing it's something we can build and choose.
Yes.
That paradigm shift is just everything. Also, what you said about scheduling sex, like, I know there's like a whatever, oh, that's not sexy or that's not spontaneous. But honestly, it really helps me. Even if I don't tell my partner that I've scheduled it, it's like getting your head in the game and like creating the space, making sure you're not too exhausted, you know, all of those things.
I think that's important. And especially the more busy life gets, when you have kids, when you're busy, as unsexy as it may sound, but when you create that time and you both commit to it, maybe it's not going to be mind-blowing every time. But you know what? At least you know that you've got the space connect for you to connect. And sometimes it may be mind-blowing sex. Sometimes it may be you just have a conversation, but you've created it. And when you can mentally prepare yourself, sometimes that helps when you're hectic and crazy and busy, because obviously the more that you do this, there'll be more spontaneous times too. But you know, life is busy. And if you don't prioritize what's important to you, it falls to the back burner. It's so easy. It's happened to me. I know it's easy to happen, right? You just got so many other things to do, or you're tired, or this, that, and the other. But if you have a commitment, no matter what, like no matter what, we're committed this time, this week, we're doing it. We're getting, you know, just creating the space, right? It's so important.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of power in that. Ladies, we have permission to schedule.
Yes.
Or at least to try it out and see how it goes.
And I like how you said you don't ever always have to tell your partner, right? Maybe you can just say, ooh, today I'm going to plan something. And your partner will be like, hey, what's happening here? I like where this is going.
Yeah, it could still be a surprise for him. It's just like getting your own head in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amanda, it has just been totally rock star having you on the show. I freaking love everything that you brought today. And I'm just going to pounce with one last question, our Ripen signature question, which is, what turns you on in any sense of the word?
I love it. That's a great question. When you said that, I just got tingly. So that's a good sign.
Just talking about it.
I think for me, it comes from when I'm feeling really good and I am really tuned in to my sensations in my body. So kind of letting go of all the noise, letting go of anything else, my to-dos, my thoughts popping through my head, and just really focusing on, okay, what am I feeling in my body right now? What am I hearing? What am I smelling? What am I tasting? And that right there turns me on.
Mm-hmm. It's like plugging in to the moment, to your body. Yeah. The bottom of my feet are tingling. Like, tee-hee. Ooh, I love that. Well, thank you so much, Amanda.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it so much, and I always love spending time with you.
It's a real pleasure. For more information or to learn about any of the resources mentioned in this episode, head over to the blog at rachelsizemore.com. If you liked this podcast, please take a moment to go to iTunes and leave a review and rating. This helps Ripen to reach more listeners like you and create more open, honest conversation. If you hit subscribe while you're there, you can keep up with new episodes. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time.